This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
And good morning. Welcome to Sportsline on a Saturday morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We've been doing this on WRMJ since 1979. This is Ty Taylor. My dad is gone this week. He's on assignment with the RFD Radio Network. I forgot where he told me. He told me yesterday. I think he's like up in Chicago doing something. So we have a pinch hitter in Mercer County High School Athletic Director Dustin Murray here in our opening segment. Coach Murray, thanks for coming. I know it was pretty short notice. So thanks a lot for coming in this morning. How's it going today?
Hey, it's going great, Ty. I'm always willing to get on the radio up here and talk about Mercer County sports. You know, it's something near and dear to my heart.
Absolutely. So, you know, the big thing with the IHSA coming up is the district scheduling proposal on the ballot. We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to talk to you briefly kind of about your transition to taking over as the athletic director at Mercer County. So you're through the fall sports season into the winter. How is kind of the first, I guess, full season you had went? How do you think it went for you, you know, kind of taking over in this new role?
Yeah, I think it went well. You know, I got a text message from somebody and it says, hey, when your name is not being mentioned out publicly as an athletic director, it means you're doing a good job. So I didn't hear too many, you know, my name being out there. So I think I did all right. You know, it was an awesome transition. I really enjoy, you know, being the athletic director, you know, moving on those different relationships. It was hard watching football games this year. And if you ever watch the NFHS camera, that my wife sent me a picture one time because it was raining. And she goes, you really can't leave that alone, can you? And it kind of migrated toward the sideline. But, you know, a great fall sports season, you know, two brand new head coaches starting with Coach Matlick and Coach Strange, who is now Coach Stropes.
Congratulations, by the way.
Absolutely. you know, just an awesome transition with, you know, cross country and all that fun stuff, learning those different roles, you know, getting to work with Coach Nelson that I've never, you know, not that I haven't worked with him, but working from him now in that cross country role, just, you know, an awesome transition and, you know, an exciting time with Mercer County as we move forward and now rolling into the winter sports season, you know, with basketball going last night up to Riverdale and getting wins and having a good start to their season. And, you know, and the girls playing well, I thought a very good win for them against Macomb right before Thanksgiving and, you know, playing tough against Riverdale the next day, you know, but starting to get rolling here. We're going to get in the LTC schedule here, our quote unquote final run in the LTC. So,
right. So obviously you talk about transitioning from fall sports into winter sports, but the big topic right now has to do with fall sports with the IHSA. Their legislative commission voted earlier this week to advance, I think, 14 bylaw proposals to a vote to the general membership. One of them, the big one, of course, being a proposal that would establish district scheduling in football. So quickly running over what that would mean on this proposal for people who don't know. What it would do is it would basically do away with conference scheduling in the sport of football at the IHSA level. There'd be eight districts in each classification, so 1A through 8A, eight teams in those districts, and then the district games you would play, inter-district games, weeks 3 through 9 of the regular season with the top four schools in each district qualifying for the playoffs. So there would still be 32 playoff qualifiers in each class. The playoff system would be the same, it'd just be a different way to getting there. Seeding procedures, they say, would be pretty similar to the current seeding procedures they use with overall wins and then the playoff points you have with your opponent's wins. And they also say that in this proposal, teams within the same district would not play in the first round. The voting for these proposals opens on Monday, runs through December 18th, with the results expected to be announced the following day on December 19th, there were town hall meetings over the past couple of weeks, which with those led to this being moved to the ballot. You were at one of those town hall meetings, Coach Murray. I think you said you went to Macomb. They had him in person, and virtually 2 years was in person. So can you talk us through kind of what the feeling was like there when it comes to this proposal, and also just kind of some of the other representatives from schools that were at the one you were at too?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of it was a neat experience to go to that first town hall meeting. And it's not always just athletic directors. It's kind of any official representative for the IHSA in that school. And I'm fortunate enough to be Mercer County's representative to the IHSA. You know, listening to the different proposals, and Sam Knox was at our meeting. So, you know, he's a wealth of knowledge with the IHSA. But just listening to the proposals, you know, you kind of go down there and, you know, I had texted some other athletic directors and, you know, districts, and they're, you know, we tried this once before and, you know, it passed and then it got brought back. But really sitting in that meeting, of course, you know, we're in Macomb, and I was probably one of the farthest north athletic directors, I think. So, you know, it stretched down to, you know, farther south places. One of them that was there, I know kind of, I think might have been farther south would be like the Quincy area or Camp Point Central. Coach Brad Dixon was there because as he'll take over as the athletic director next year at Camp Point Central. You know, it was kind of, I was kind of shocked when all of a sudden there was this support that kept gaining for districts. You know, and Sam talked about the districts and explained it. And we had a video, I want to say it was the athletic director from DeKalb High School, because that's one of the conferences, I believe the Duquesne, that proposed this, you know, had a video and talked about it. And, you know, you kind of look at it and it makes sense in some facts. There's other parts where, you know, hey, I'm not sure. One of the biggest disappointments I think in the room is, you know, you put it like an analogy, like a car. I'm not one of those people that wants to go out and just buy a car straight off a lot. Right. I want to test drive it. I want to see it. I want to look at it. And I think that was some frustration. You know, I think there's some support for the districts, but again, that's also some frustration, is that we don't know what it's going to look like. And we're hoping the IHSA, you know, okay, we passed this December 19th. They start working. When are we going to see our district? Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, with us changing conferences, I've got our football schedule ready to roll.
Right.
We know next year, week one, we're going to Monmouth Roseville. And then week two, we're playing Sherrard, and then the rest of the Three Rivers Conference schedule. But, you know, with districts, that could wholeheartedly change, and hey, it's coming in next year. So, you know, Sam talked about it, and, you know, and there was talk in the room, and there were some 8-man guys in there. You know, their schools play 8-man football. Didn't really know. And then all of a sudden, you know, we got a vote. You know, we just kind of vote. It's just an exploratory vote. It doesn't mean anything. You can do it on your phone or your tablet. And all of a sudden it went up there, and there was a whole lot of support. And I texted Jeremy Adolphson afterwards, and I was like, I was not expecting to see that. And he said, yeah, kind of the same thing, you know. And then this week, I've been fortunate enough this year, I've been invited to the Three Rivers Athletic mm-hmm. Conference athletic directors meetings, you know, and they all kind of echoed the same thing, you know, in their town hall meetings of the gaining momentum for it. But then you get on, I believe it's X now or Twitter, yeah. and there's people over there blasting it. We need right. to vote this down.
So, you know, you mentioned there talking about kind of, you know, the districts, you're kind of voting blind, right? They haven't mm-hmm. put out what they would look like. So my understanding is the vote will happen without anybody knowing what the districts will look like, correct?
That is what we've been told, yes.
Okay, so with that, I guess the question is how do you to me, it's difficult when you get with that information to say, okay, I'm going to make a vote on whether this is good for us or bad for us. So obviously I know there's ways you can look and say, okay, you can say, well, this school will probably be on our district. This school will probably be on our district. But again, you know, with the changing enrollments too, you're stuck in your classification. So, you know, for example, for Mercer County with this, when you look at the district, like Sherrard would not be in the district because they're going to be a 3A football program, with Mercer County being a 2A. Same with Monmouth Roseville, they would be 3A. Mercer County would be 2A. And I know like mm-hmm. Orion's enrollment is kind of dropping, where they're kind of getting close to the 1A,
right.
2A line in football. So when you look at what the district could potentially look like, do you have much of an idea of who you think potentially could be in the district with Mercer County if this were to pass?
You know, yeah, you know, there's some guys have put out projections, and I know Steve Soucy has one on his Friday Night Drive site, which I think he's talked about maybe releasing next Monday so people could see. But, you know, obviously I feel that I think Rock Ridge would be in our district, but it also depends where the IHSA cuts right. the line. You know, there's been times in wrestling, I want to say, for instance, Rock Ridge goes to a sectional, a different sectional than us or a regional. And, you know, we're what, 15 miles mm-hmm. from each other. So the line gets drawn here. But, you know, some area schools that I think we could get put with, you know, maybe a Knoxville again, a Farmington, you know, you kind of look at those playoff teams in the 2A area and you think, okay, who's around us? You know, obviously, like United would be a 1A team. You know, Riverdale, where do mm-hmm, they fall right. on that line? Because their enrollment's kind of declining a little bit. You know, Bureau Valley, are they close enough? You know, do we have to go, you know, how far north do we go? Because a lot of those NUIC schools are 1A. Yeah. But, you know, you think of a school up there, oh, you know, like Dupec. Dupec will probably be a 3A school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Lanarkey, Eastland Pearl City. You know, are they a 2A school? Are they in our district? So you kind of think about it. It's hard. I guess we're almost in a rock and a hard place at right. Mercer County because we're leaving the Lincoln Trail Conference. We're transitioning to the Three Rivers Conference, which we've got a full slate of 9 games, you know, because that's one of the most nerve wracking things, I think, as an athletic director is scheduling games. You know, I know this year we, you know, originally, you know, we played St. Bede week 2. Originally we had Fisher on the lineup and they called us and said, hey, we can't do this. We're going to break our contract. So we're scrambling for a game. So that's the one nice part about it was knowing, hey, we've got games. We've right. got 7 games for our district and everybody's got a week 1-2 opening. So you look at it that way, but you know, ultimately, you know, when we decide and make our vote, you know, I know I've got a Lincoln Trail athletic directors meeting next week and we've all kind of talked, we'd like to discuss it there. I could see a lot of guys wait until the 18th to vote right. to see if, you know, what kind of happens and what goes out there. But you know, ultimately I'm going to talk with Coach Matlick and I'm going to talk with Mrs. Cooper and Mr. Petrie and we're going to make the collective best decision. What we think is for Mercer County.
So for you, it's like you said, it's interesting for Mercer County. You're moving to the track. You're still a member of the Lincoln Trail Conference as you sit right now though. So you kind of are able to get insight from both conferences, mm-hmm. I feel like. So what's been the opinion of the track and the Lincoln Trail? Is there a consensus opinion among the conferences, whether they want to go districts or want to stay with the traditional conference schedule? Have you heard much on that?
You know, the Three Rivers, we kind of all talked about it and that, and I don't know that there is a general consensus. I think it's kind of split down the board one way or another, because in one fact, you know, we've got a conference, you know, on both sides, we've got strong conferences. The Three Rivers mm-hmm. strong, the Lincoln Trail strong. So I think it's just the what's everybody else going to do? How, you know, how did the rest shake out? I didn't get a defined one way or another at the Three Rivers meeting this week to say, hey, the whole conference, let's say the whole conference is, you know, hey, we're not going to vote this or hey, we're going to vote for this. I didn't really get a sense at that meeting what it was, you know, but I'll be honest with you, the Three Rivers meetings, I kind of sit in the corner right now just because, you know, we're the kind of the new guy coming in and I don't want to say much, but you know, I don't know. You know, for us, I know it'd be kind of cool because we know we'll probably play Rock Ridge. Mm-hmm. They'll be in our district. You know, we'll get to have that cool rivalry probably if we go districts. And if we don't go districts, right. we're going to have that. So that'll be really neat. But, you know, the Lincoln Trail meeting, you know, I've got next week. I haven't, you know, everybody's kind of been hush-hush on the email. Nobody said anything about, you know, what they thought or another. But, you know, just talking with other guys, I think they're kind of nervous too because the Lincoln Trail's, you know, they've got that mix with the Prairie Land. You know, now we've got this new football conference with on the IHSA website, it said the Lincoln Trail Prairie or the yeah. Prairie Trail Lincoln.
I was told it was the Lincoln Land.
But then, you know, the athletic things come out, it's the Lincoln Land.
Right. Well, the track too is Rock and Mississippi, but it's west and east, so I don't understand that either. But anyway, they got to
I was
going to
say that's beside the point, you know, and so you kind of lose that. And, you know, do the kids lose an opportunity to play for conference titles if we go to district? Yeah, but you got the chance to play for a district title. Do we get, you know, are we going to get a little bar for a district title? I don't know. You know, I know that I've been in talks with regardless of what we do, I've been in talks with Rock Ridge about trying to create a rivalry game with Mercer County, and maybe we can find some outlandish trophy.
I love trophy games, you know, especially in high school. There need to be more of those.
Absolutely, because when I was in high school, I went to Lyle High School. We played Westmont, and we played when we started playing when they joined the Interstate 8 Conference when I was there. We played for the old Plank Road Trophy,
right?
And it was just an old piece of wood that was mounted on this thing. And it didn't mean anything to anybody else, but gosh dang it, when you won on Friday night and you got to take the old Plank Trophy home, it was awesome. You know, so maybe we can come up with something with Rock Ridge. You know, of course, we got their superintendent living in Aledo and, you know, and work for the Mercer County School District.
And he officiates every basketball game Mercer County plays in, too, it feels like.
Hey, but it's a short drive for him. I know he probably likes to drive home after those games, you know. And, of course, we take care of him, you know, got to get him good popcorn and good water. Yeah. But, no, I don't know if I know a great sense in the fact of what's going to happen. I know it's exciting, you know, that we're talking about it, but you know, I think regardless, you know, teams are going to put their head down and prepare for who they're going to play week one.
Okay, so, two, when you look at this, like you mentioned earlier, you know, and I've seen it too, like on social media the past week, there's been, a big, like, push. I don't know if it's a majority or just, like, a loud minority of people who want the vote to, or want the district proposal to be voted down. So, for you, I know, you know, it's very early in this process. But, like, around the state, have you got much of a feel of whether you think it'll pass or whether it won't, or what kind of the... To me, it looks like it's going to be a pretty close vote, I think.
Yeah, and I think it was close the last time it went through. No, from what I've heard from different people that went to different town hall meetings, the overwhelming majority seems like, oh, hey, people want this. But then again, I don't know what was it like in Chicago, you know, what was it like up in the north part of the state. I think you're exactly right. I think people are going to be hawking. It's going to be like an election night. Yeah. You know, on December 19th, people, the IHSA website might need to, like, go into playoff zone mode. Right. Yeah. You know, because people are going to be hawking this to see, you know, because it does change the landscape. Because if we go this way, there's no going back.
Yeah, right. I agree.
You know, and you know, because in the Three Rivers Conference meeting, Guy Dierks from Riverdale, he was in, I believe he was at Loaiza Muscatine or Davenport North when they made the switch to districts, and, you know, kind of an exciting time, you know, and he kind of talked about that transition. But somebody did say, they said, hey, ultimately, if we do go districts, there's no coming back from this. Does that give conference stability for everything else? Maybe, because in football, there is the quote unquote drive for five.
Right.
But I hate that there is the drive for five, because, you know, like one of my old, one of the guys I looked up to growing up, Brian Dennison,
right.
You know, his always thought was, you know, he would have said, hey, if you don't like it, get better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's what you got to do. If you don't like where you're at and that, you just got to work to get better and build those.
So, you know, we see it too, like you mentioned, you see a lot of conference shifting, especially the last five or so years. A lot of schools have changed conferences. Mercer County's moving to the track. Just like in the Three Rivers, there's been a ton of movement the past five or so years. So that's one thing that I know people say with districts is, like, that'll help more stability with these conferences. And I think it would allow you, like you said, with football, that's kind of what drives the conference schedule, because, you know, we mentioned it earlier, you got to schedule the nine games, and if there's an opening, it's tough to find somebody to play. So with that, I think if this does pass, it would provide a lot of stability for, you know, conferences for other sports, right? They'd be gone in football, but for everything else, there would still be the conference schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would allow schools to maybe get back to being in, like, the geographical conferences that make the most sense travel-wise and traditional-wise. So for you, you know, if this passes, do you see that maybe being, you know, more of a possibility with kind of the conferences getting more stable if we get district scheduling in football?
I do think, because I think there's a lot of movement for football. And, you know, outside of football, which kind of drives conferences, you'd rather play those geographical rivals. You know, I'm impartial to it, but I can't wait for next year. And I think everybody knows this. When we play Rock Ridge or Sherrard, you know, on a Friday night in a basketball game, there's a lot of people that come out to that.
Well, Tuesday against Monmouth Roseville at home was a great crowd.
It was great crowd. Even Thursday night, we wrestled Kewaunee and Sherrard. We had pretty packed gym on Thursday night for, you know, a triangular meet with Kewaunee and Sherrard, because there's that rivalry there. So all those sports outside of football, I think, get those, you know, close rivals, you know, those things like that. And you're not driving past a school, you know, we're not driving past, oh, hey, we're driving past Sherrard again to go here to play somebody else, even though we could play them. I think it makes some stability. I joked with somebody, does the quote unquote old Olympic right. come back? I know your dad would be ecstatic.
I'm on board with
know?
It.
But I did joke with somebody, and this is, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this. The west side of the Three Rivers Conference, you know, we kind of talked about is almost part of the, right. you know, the old Olympic.
Outside of Riverdale, yeah.
You know, outside of Riverdale. But Riverdale's a great addition to that yeah. side, and I don't have any problem. We went up there, you know, I know the boys went up there last night, were able to get a win. You know, and so it's kind of cool and neat to see. I just think at this point we probably just need to like, hey, it either passes this time right. and we're done, we're in districts, or hey, we're done with this. Let's go to conferences and go from there.
So obviously, you know, weeks 3 through 9 would be set. The IHSA would do that scheduling within the districts. You have the 1 and 2 open dates of the first 2 weeks of the season. I'm sure that pretty much everybody is working right now, you know, just in case that this passes to set those games up. So have you had any discussions, you know, with what weeks 1 and 2 could potentially look like for you? Because you play out of district and I assume the school scheduled out themselves, those two non-district
yeah,
games.
Yeah, that's what okay. we've been told is that, hey, week 1 and week 2, you schedule whoever you want. And so, you know, like Sam talked about at our HSA town hall meeting, he goes, that would give some people maybe some flexibility to play some of those local rivalries right. that might be a 1A, 2A, or might be, hey, we're a 5A and they're a 9A, or a 6A, 9A. What am I talking about? and I'll be honest with you. So when I left that town hall meeting, I joked, I texted the old athletic director, Andrew Hofer, and I said, hey, you know, blah, blah. And he goes, hey, it probably wouldn't be bad to start working on it.
Right.
That day, I text 2 ADs. And I'll kind of keep them anonymous right now, but Mercer County has a week 1 and week 2 opponent okay. if district schedules That's pass, good. And you know, ready to roll. And you know, do I need to keep them? No, cause it doesn't matter. Right. I'll be honest with you. I've talked with Jeremy Adolphson at Monmouth Roseville and Lisa Immendorfer at Sherrard.
That's great. Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you, regardless of if districts pass or not, yeah. we're playing Monmouth Roseville week 1 and Sherrard week 2. Right. Next year, I've kind of talked to them to ink those games. Yeah, because I think they will be non-district opponents. I think Monmouth Rose will be in a 3A district and Sherrard will be in a 3A district. But they're quote-unquote close geographical yeah. rivals. You know, go back down and play in a good atmosphere at Monmouth Roseville, Mercer County game. You know, and then week 2, maybe get to host Sherrard in a game where I think we can probably pack the stands and you know, the old routes, maybe we get the Route 17 rivalry going.
Yeah, there you go.
Like that,
I do. I think, though, like with Monmouth Roseville and Sherrard, it's easy, I would assume, because, you know, it's what the weeks 1 and 2 games are going to be anyway. And then, like you said, it's non-district games. They're about as local as you can get to. So mm-hmm. I like that idea. Okay, so when you look at this vote, so Mercer County, who like officially cast the ballot then? Is it you?
Yeah, I'm okay. the one. My quote-unquote IHSA login is the official one, but you know when it comes to sports like this, I'm definitely going to have a conversation with Coach Matlick because it's his sport, it's his program, you know, and obviously I've got to have a conversation with Mrs. Cooper right. and Mr. Petrie as you know they're the administration in the building, but ultimately it's quote-unquote me that clicks yes or no and votes for it, but I will say of all the other districts, and I've been trying to read them and research them or all the other proposals. I bet this is probably the hot button topic. I know, you know, there's the advisory committee that talks about reducing the summer contact days mm-hmm. and all those different ones. And I know there was some other ones that didn't make the ballot that I'm sure some people would have liked to seen them right. on the ballot. But no, ultimately I'm the one that gets to click the button, but definitely if it affects any sport specifically, I want to have a conversation with our coach in that sport, in this case, Coach Matlick, about what they feel is the best. But you know, at the end of the day, hey, we're just, you know, if we've got a schedule, we're going to go play right. ball.
So when you look at the vote, I mean, one way or the other, do you guys have a vote that you know you're going to make yet? Or what's kind of is there a big difference you feel like? I mean, how much of an impact do you think this will have? So overall, I guess it's a two-part question. One, do you know how you're going to vote yet? I'm sure, like you said, a lot of schools maybe will wait later to see if there's something provided.
Right.
So how does that look, you think?
Yeah, I don't know that we definitely know how we're going to vote yet. I've got to sit down and Coach Matlick and I'll talk over the year and see how that goes. But we're kind of in that unique situation of, you know, we know next year for the next 2 years, we've got a solid football mm-hmm. schedule. So that's one of those things. I know I've got something concrete that I can look at that we know, hey, week 5 in 2025, this is who we're playing, where if we go districts, we don't know.
Right.
You know, obviously they're going to have a schedule for us, but But I don't think I can tell you right now one way or another what way we're going to go. Because there's some days I'm like, man, let's go districts. Let's just alleviate all this, go districts. And there's other days where I'm like, hey, let's take this ride into the Three Rivers and see what it does.
So another thing, I guess I have a question in terms of the proposal. So how the IHSA enrollment – football is separate because how the enrollment classification works for the playoffs is you don't know what classification you are until the playoffs start, basically, because they just take the – 256 qualifiers, and the biggest 32 schools are 8A and down the line all the way to 1A.
Mm-hmm.
So the other sports, though, it's a two-year classification enrollment cycle where every 2 years they take the average enrollment of the previous 2 years and then they stick you in that way. So for football, I would assume, like every other sport, there's going to be shifting every two or so years of the mm-hmm. districts too, right? So have they explained how that will work with the enrollment? Will it be every year? Will it be every 2 years? And how, I guess, will the classification shift there? Have they talked about that much?
They didn't talk much about it. Because, you know, ultimately, like when Sam talked about it, he goes, you know, ultimately it's not our proposal. But I would guess that there would probably be a solid period of time where, hey, it's a 2 year district mm-hmm. or it's a 4 year district or a 3 year. But ultimately, what if, you know, some school has a low and gets put, you know, gets bumped into here and, yeah, they might run the district. No. So that one, in that sense, it'll kind of take the uniqueness of the playoffs yeah. of, hey, where's that line going to be? Cause like you think about this year, Wilmington was a 3A school all year. And then all of a sudden, you know, they go to the playoff show, hey, they're 2A, and then watch, they go run right. to the 2A state title game. So I think it'll take some quote unquote uniqueness out of the playoffs, but you know, ultimately it's still one of the cool things. I'm going to say they probably do like a 2 year cycle. I don't think he specifically said in that, in the video, we got a video when we watched this proposal down in Macomb. I don't think he said it would be like a 2 year. I'm going to guess it's a 2 year cycle, because, you know, enrollments can change and fluctuate and move ins and move outs, but, no, it will definitely be interesting. I think everybody, I know me as an athletic director, I will probably wake up early on the 19th to start seeing and what's going on, and not sure what day of the week that is, but you know, we may have to do a worksheet day in math class that day.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that's the one day. Don't tell Mr. Peach or Mrs. Cooper, but it might be a little light day in Murray's math class that day.
So another thing that, you know, one of the things that people say about this proposal is they say, well, the week one and two games wouldn't matter. And I don't think that's really the case, because like we said, the wording in the proposal is the seeding procedures mm-hmm. for the playoffs would be basically the same. So my understanding of that is that, yes, the weeks one and two games wouldn't count for the district standings, because like we said, it would be the top four teams in the district
mm-hmm.
based on the standings of the in-district games qualify for the playoffs. But if you do qualify, I would assume those weeks one and two results would, you know, matter.
You, right. They'd get you playoff
it
points.
It gets you your win total.
Your points and get you
and
maybe.
The points, right.
Yeah, because, you know, if you come at another seven, let's say you lose both of those games, but you play opponents that are 9-0, 8-1, the way that it talks in that proposal, I would assume you'd still get quote-unquote playoff yeah. points from that.
Right.
So you might get seeded one of the higher 7-2 teams, and you know, at the end of the day, you play two teams non-district that are good, they're only going to get you better
exactly.
ready for district play. You know, it's quote-unquote the example, iron sharpens iron, you
right.
know, that we always joke about.
Mrs. But Cooper likes that one. She says that a lot.
But oh, maybe man. My boss is rubbing off on me.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think they're going to matter. So, you know, I think, you know, you still got to play the games because they matter. And I think that's why you want it to be, because you don't want a team to be like, well, we'll just not play week one and week two. We'll just play our district schedule. Right. You know, but you want it to matter in terms of that seeding. And, you know, and because otherwise, if it doesn't matter at all.
Right. Why do it?
I hate saying it. What's the point of playing it?
Exactly.
You know, I'm one of those competitive people. If I'm going to do something, it's because I'm going to want to win.
Yeah.
You know, and we want it for something. That's, I joke that COVID year was one of the hardest years to coach. You know, we wanted to win every game, and that's why we were coaching. But, you know, there wasn't that quote unquote enticement
right.
at the end of the playoffs and that. But, you know, at that point, we were just happy to freaking play.
Right. And the other thing, too, with districts, I think it helps, like, you know, keep teams alive for a playoff spot later into the season, because, you know, with it not starting till week three, you know, if you start off 0-2 in the format now, it's hard to, you know, work your way back. So I do think that'll help it out too. Coming up This morning we'll hear from the IHSA, Sam Knox. We had a chance to talk with him a couple weeks ago at halftime of the 8-man football state title game. This is covered with him a couple of weeks ago. And then we talked with Friday Night Drive Steve Susi, who we mentioned earlier. We talked with him earlier in the week. We'll hear from him on this whole district scheduling proposal and upcoming vote. He does a great job covering high school football in the state of Illinois, too. He's the man. Steve Susi's the man. So anything else, Coach Murray, you want to say about this district proposal as you get ready to start to figure out how you want to vote over the next couple of weeks?
No, I think I just said I really wish with this proposal they had come out with a, hey, here is what we project it to be. We're not saying it is the right exact one. But I think, you know, ultimately it would have been nice to see a quote-unquote test run of what it is. Because the last time it passed, we didn't have this either. And then the IHSA came out, they showed us what districts would look like, and then ultimately people are like, hey, absolutely not, we don't want this, and it got voted back down. That would be my only thing is, man, I really wish we had something on paper that said, you know, hey, this is what the districts will look like for the first 2 years. You know, because I kind of kept up back from my hometown in Lisle. Their district would include a lot of Chicago teams, you know, and we played in the, I think they play in the Illinois Central. I can't remember what that new conference is called up there, the ICE maybe or something. But, you know, they would lose some of those traditional rivalries they had, you know, because we had like a rivalry growing up in school. You know, it was fun to go to play Wilmington. So yeah. It was kind of cool for me to go back there this year and see Coach Reince and because I played against them. But, you know, you would lose some of that for some areas, but in other areas it might be good for certain places because maybe you're traveling closer than you are farther away. But no, ultimately I kind of wish we'd have seen a quote-unquote district proposal, something that we knew, hey, this is what it's going to look like. And I think everybody, don't you agree that everybody around the state probably would have liked to see it?
Well, I just think, you know, like I said earlier, it's hard for me, you know, it'd be a hard spot to be put in to vote on something because, you know, ultimately, again, I think that, you know, you want to vote for what's better for you, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of the whole point. And you have no idea one way or the other. Nobody does, really. I mean, I'm sure some schools probably would be like, well, it's obvious for us. But like for Mercer County, you know, I think it's difficult because you look at, like you said, with the track schedule, you know, those are schools that I think most of those schools in that conference, especially, you know, the local schools, people are excited to play, and you would lose, you know, you'd lose quote unquote Sherrard, Monmouth, Roseville definitely from the schedule. You could, you know, obviously get them back, like you said, with the non-district games. Right. But, and I think too, it's just hard to know because again, if you know where they draw the line, because you mentioned it earlier, like with Rockridge and Mercer County, like, you know, we weren't even in the same subsectional with them in softball, right?
So, which I was okay with,
right? I'm sure you were,
you know, didn't have to, you know, but you know, sometimes that line gets drawn, you just don't know where the IHSA is going to draw the line, and that's one of the most uncertain things is where are they going to, are we going to get group south, are we going to end up going to Illini West and West Hancock, that area. I know, I will say, like, we sat in that district meeting, and you know, like Quincy, Notre Dame. Yeah. You know, he was all about districts because they had to go to Florida to play a game this year.
Right. Well, and, you know, like, I know them, and, like, Macomb was in a league with them a few years ago. I think it was the West Central. It, like, blew up, and there were three teams left, and they were all going to Missouri every week. So I get that, and, like, I know there are some independent schools that are probably, like, you know, having to go all over the place. So I understand, you know, like I said, for some schools, it's definitely better.
For some schools, it might work best, and for some schools, it might be like, hey, no, we don't want this at all. You know, because you think about like some of the Quad City schools, how far are they going to have to, you know, how far is Moline going to have to travel, you know, if they do that? Right. Because obviously Alleman would probably drop way down and be in what, a 3A district?
Well, Alleman could potentially be with like Mercer County, Rock Ridge, depending on what the enrollment is.
Depending on
them.
What their enrollment is. And honestly, if Alleman can field the football team, I think they're hoping to field the varsity football team. Because that is the other thing is what happens in a district. If a team either can't play that season or drops out, now you're looking for a, you know, everybody else is in a district and you're looking for, you know, do you get an automatic forfeit? How does that work?
Yeah, right.
You know, there's some questions to be answered, but I don't know, man, it's tough to figure out which one way or another, but you know, ultimately we've got to talk to our football coaches, our football staff and get their opinion and what they think on it. And, you know, and obviously make the best determination for what's going to benefit Mercer County the best.
Voting opens December 4th for this, which is Monday, runs through December 18th. And the way it passes or doesn't pass is it's a majority of the votes cast. So I assume there will be very good turnout for this, probably more so than most years. So however, you know, X amount of votes are going to be cast for it, and the majority of that will decide whether we implement it next year or if it gets voted down.
Yeah, you know, and you think a co-op like Erie Prophetstown, they get two votes. You know, they get one from Erie and one from Prophetstown, because every school, whether they're a football-playing school or not, get a vote. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's you know, kind of like an election night. We're going to be looking forward to seeing it, but, you know.
More fun than an election night.
I was going to say, not as maybe stressful for you guys, you know, reporting. But I'm sure on December 19th or something, I'm sure you and I will text at some point and say, hey, you know, this is what it looks like.
All right. December 4th through the 18th is the voting period for this. That's Mercer County Athletic Director Dustin Murray joining us. We didn't have time to talk softball today. We'll do that maybe later.
Hey, I'm always
early
willing
spring.
To, I'm always willing to talk Golden Eagle softball.
Right. Yeah, excited for that. All right. We'll take a timeout. More coming up on this topic. We'll talk with the IHSA's Sam Knox, also Steve Susi with Friday Night Drive. More coming up with district scheduling talk on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage. Auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage. And save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers, to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
Welcome back to Sportsline this morning. I'm Ty Taylor. Coming up here momentarily, we'll have a conversation with IHSA football administrator Sam Knox, who was kind enough to join us on our broadcast of the Illinois Eight-Man Football Association state championship game a couple of weeks ago between Ridgewood and Amboy. This conversation you'll hear with Sam Knox happened at halftime for Monmouth College a couple of weeks ago during our coverage of the Ridgewood versus Amboy state championship game in Illinois Eight-Man Football. A lot of topics covered, including, of course, the district scheduling proposal and upcoming vote. We also talked with Sam about whether or not it's close for the IHSA to take over oversight of eight-man football in the state and more. And here's that conversation now with the IHSA Sam Knox, who is the administrator in charge of their football oversight.
So tell us a little bit. You know, there's always the conversation about 8-man and 11-man. Will 8-man ever become part of IHSA oversight? I know 28 teams playing 8-man football in 2023. Where do you think the IHSA is at on that?
That's the million-dollar question. Our football advisory meets in early December, and I'm sure this topic will come up again. A few years ago, the advisory committee proposed to the board, hey, let's have the IHSA sponsor a championship in eight-man football. But the board wasn't quite ready at that time. We've got some different board members now, so maybe it's time to bring it up for discussion again and see where it goes. But, I mean, you can tell the eight-man game is extremely healthy, fantastic crowd tonight, lots of support for the game, and it's a beautiful thing to see small school football alive and well at the eight-man level.
Well, and I know you could never do it in the eight-class system of playing at a venue like this because you're playing eight games in a matter of 2 days. But I know when I've had the conversation with some of the IHSA representatives before that, you know, one of the things, my interpretation is if eight-man falls under the IHSA, eight-man probably will still have its own kind of state championship series at a I'll call it an off-site venue that won't coincide with where the 11-man state championship series is. Would you say that's still pretty accurate, or you don't know?
Well, I don't know for sure because I don't make that final decision, but it almost has to. I mean, our weekend of Thanksgiving is loaded right now with four games Friday, four games Saturday, and I just don't know how we would squeeze one more game into that weekend. And we've had the eight-man group meeting in our office. In fact, they meet at least two times, maybe three times a year in our office in Bloomington, and we've had that exact discussion. And those folks realize we just don't have time to add another game to our Thanksgiving weekend. So I would envision, if the IHSA is responsible for eight-man football, it would be similar to a setting like this, where it would be a weekend earlier because there's not as many teams in the playoffs. And the eight-man group has a perfect model of what they're doing right now, and I think if the IHSA would be responsible for it, we wouldn't want to change too much because what they have going right now is a really good thing.
And I know the other question I always get is, well, okay, if we have an eight-man state final series, does that mean there's going to be an eight-man classification, and then people will say, well, that'll basically be 1A, and then there'll be 11-man classes. But I think I've been told, no, probably still eight classes of 11-man football and then a separate class of eight-man. Is that probably what we're still looking at, you think?
Yeah, there has been no discussion at all about reducing the number of 11-man classes, so I would anticipate what you just said. Continue with eight classes of 11-man and a separate class of eight-man, and therefore we'd have nine total classes of football in IHSA.
All right, so I know here there seems to be a lot of support for this district scheduling bylaw amendment at these town hall meetings. So that says to me that it's probably going to get on the ballot. And it was funny because I didn't realize I started reading the proposal a little closer and it said effective fall of 2024. I'm like, wait, what? So just your reaction to the bylaw amendment proposal. And I mean, it has to win approval. It has to get to the ballot first, and then simple majority by the member schools who vote. Is that kind of the process then right now?
You got it exactly. And if you remember, and you remember a lot of things about IHSA sports, you were the first person who called me a few years ago when it passed. And you called me, and we had a great discussion about it. And then the very next year, it was the schools decided they didn't want it. So you're right. This proposal is not a whole lot different than what we've seen before, but this one says if it passes, it goes into effect next school year.
So the question that I have for you as a member of the IHSA staff, can the IHSA put a district schedule together between now and then if member schools would vote for district scheduling? Your answer, Sam Knox, is what?
Man, this is the hottest of hot seats tonight, I'll tell you that. The answer is yes, because we are a membership-driven organization, and if the membership wants something done, we'll make it happen. But to me, the very first step we have to take is to, okay, let's take a poll of our schools and see who's in and who's out. Who's going to make the change to eight-man next year? Who's co-opting? Who's not co-opting? How many of the Chicago public schools are in? How many are not? And as much support as this seems to have around the state right now, I was at a town meeting at Chicago Whitney Young earlier this week, and I will tell you flat out, the Chicago public schools are dead set against this idea. They do not want this to happen at all. And I told them, I knew that going into that meeting. I knew it was going to be like that. But I said, folks, I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of the state who loves this idea, and for one main reason. They are tired of the conference changes that we've all experienced over the last two decades, and they want stability. And not just stability for football, they want stability for all sports. And they see this as the answer.
Well, and I would tend to agree with that, too. I just think with the enrollment issues in some parts of the state where you're losing enrollment and there's just the constant change in conference affiliation. However, I tell people too, you know, because I'm torn if I'm for it or against it, I'm not sure, but I just think that the one concern I have is if you do it, you're never going back. So once district scheduling happens, you're not going back to conference scheduling. And that's when people will start saying, you know, oh, we're losing local control. Well, you wanted district scheduling. And, you know, people can be critical about, you know, with the IHSA on a lot of different things. And I think district scheduling puts kind of the line of fire in the IHSA where people will say, well, wait a minute. This is the district? Well, yeah, because your enrollment is this now, and these are the schools kind of in your area, and you're not going to play maybe this geographic rival because they're maybe a class bigger than you, and they don't want to schedule you non-conference wise. Mm-hmm. So those are the factors that are in play right now if this happens, right?
No doubt about it. And you know the IHSA landscape as well as anybody, and always have. So you know it very well, and you're exactly right. It's certainly going to be different. The IHSA has never been involved in any sport with determining what happens during the regular season. That's always been local control, as you said. Teams decide who they play, what conferences they join, what conferences they change from and join a different one. We've all seen it over the last 20, 30 years, and it's not slowing down. And again, schools seem to see this football district as a chance for all of that to stop, and not just for football, but for all sports. I talked to one longtime coach who's very close to Coach Kirby just earlier this week, and he said, Sam, yeah, there's going to be a lot of rumblings as we get going with this, if it happens. But he said, I think 5 years down the road, people will look at this and say, this might be the best thing we've ever done. Again, not just for football, but for all sports.
And the other thing, though, too, that always comes into play with these type of conversations, it's a simple majority of the member schools who vote. So you always hear, if you're on the losing side of a proposition, right, you're for something, it doesn't win, and then you say, well, wait a minute, it's a simple majority. Yeah, it's a simple majority of just the people who voted. And then there's, you know, there's, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's can be a significant percentage of member schools for whatever reason don't cast a ballot. And so that's the other thing in these type of issues. It's just a simple majority of the member schools who vote, right?
I mean, that's exactly right. And last year's voter turnout, if you want to call it turnout, was a measly 63% of our membership voted last year. Now, a few years ago when football districts were on the ballot, we saw an all-time high of, gosh, it was mid-80s, almost 90% of the schools, and we knew it was going to happen. So I would anticipate, again, if this topic makes it to the ballot, I think we'll see another record number of voter turnout because it is one of the hottest topics in IHSA world right now.
All right. Anything else? Officials, you feel better? Are we gaining traction there? Are we kind of still stuck in the mud? I mean, are we getting more, getting less, or is this kind of status quo?
It's kind of status quo. We have seen numbers overall through all sports increase from the last couple of years, and that's good to see. But we got to realize that when new people, whether they're 18 years old or 48 years old, when they get into this, it takes them a while to grow. And people, whoever's listening tonight and goes to their local high school games, you've got to keep it in perspective. Those officials out there are trying their best. They may not know the rules as well as they should or as well as we think they should. They're trying their best. They're not trying to make mistakes. So people just need to realize it's a high school event. Let the officials do their thing. Because if we jump on them too early in their career, they may not come back ever again. And we need them to come back so we can enjoy events just like tonight's game.
You know, somebody else brought this up the other day, too, to me about 11-man football. And I've heard this every once in a while about could there ever be the potential of playing semifinal games on neutral sites?
You know, somebody brought that up to me, and I don't know that we'd ever get to a point of neutral sites for semis because that would be a lot of moving parts. We need nice fields like here at Monmouth College, Illinois College. I could keep going with all the small schools around the state, but and even some nice high school stadiums where their team maybe is not in the playoffs or they're out, and they could host some of our games as well. But nobody's really pounding on the table saying we need to change this. But again, our football advisory meets in early December, and maybe some of those guys will have some thoughts about that topic.
And the only other thing I ever hear about football, too, is the seeding in terms of when you get to host the home game in the playoffs. And sometimes if you're the higher seed in the semifinals, if the way the cookie crumbles, as they say, through the playoffs, you may be on the road. And I hear coaches say, well, how can we be a semifinal or a one seed and not hosting the semifinals.
We had
that takes a bylaw, I guess, amendment proposal or something like that.
Our advisory committee recommended last year, or maybe 2 years ago, I don't remember. They said, hey, let's keep the language the same, but when we get to the semifinals, the higher seed hosts the game no matter what. And our board of directors looked at that and said, yeah, that's not a bad concept, but let's just keep it the way it's been for a long time. And, you know, again, somebody's got to host it. I don't know that home field advantage is that big of a deal in high school football. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the team that's playing the better ball that day is going to win the game.
Once again, that was Sam Knox joining us a couple of weeks ago at halftime of the Illinois Man Football Association state title game, talking about this district scheduling proposal that is going to be on the IHSA membership ballot here over the next couple of weeks. And we'll talk more about district scheduling and the possibility and the outlook as the vote nears coming up over the next couple of weeks with Friday Night Drive Steve Soucy. That conversation next.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. About 5 weeks ago, I think I was talking to Steve Soucy prior to the playoff pairings being announced, and we fast forward 5 weeks later, we have 8 state champions crowned, but I think that's probably not the big story anymore, as the IHSA membership and their schools will be voting December 4th through the 14th on a district scheduling proposal for high school football. And basically, you're talking about the IHSA setting the high school football schedule. We'll take a deeper dive into that. Initially, Steve Soucy from Friday Night Drive, when we heard the bylaw amendment proposal being introduced, we heard reaction that there was, you know, plenty of support at these town hall meetings. But now after the town hall meetings, I think it's kind of turned the other way. I'm hearing more opposition now on social media. What's your feel on this thing right now?
Well, I mean, I talked with a lot of people over the course of the state championship weekend, either, you know, via talking to them through Twitter or in person, or, you know, and I kind of got the same feeling that you did. And I think the lines of like where, you know, where I guess the opposition come from are kind of clearly drawn. I feel like Chicagoland and around is kind of pretty strongly against this. And in their town meetings, it was kind of like, no, we don't want this at all. And then the further away from Chicagoland that you got, I think there was more support for it. I don't know why exact. I have some theories on why it kind of breaks on those geographical lines, but, It definitely seemed like there was some a clear distinction between certain areas in the state and how they feel about this proposal.
Now, this isn't the first rodeo, as they say. Tried it before, passed, and then the very next opportunity before it was implemented, it was voted down by the membership. The big difference with this proposal is if it wins, it goes into effect with the fall of 2024. Now, I ask Sam Knox, the IHSA football administrator during the 8-man state football championship, I said, hey, if this passes, can you guys put together a schedule by the fall of 2024? And he said, well, if the membership wants us to, we can do it. So what do you think of that answer, I guess?
Well, I mean, theoretically, I agree with Sam. It can be done. But I think one of my major problems with this proposal that it comes down to is, as written, there's going to have to be some questions answered. Primarily, the biggest one to me right now is the proposal as written says we have 512 potential teams to put into this pool, divided into 64 team classifications with 8 team districts in each. Well, at the end of last season, we had 497 playoff eligible teams in the state of Illinois. That's not 512. There's a way that you can get to 512 from existing 11-man football programs in Illinois, but that would involve including at least a handful of the 24 teams that play in the Chicago Public League that are not currently playoff eligible. And you might ask, why are they not playoff eligible? Well, these are sometimes startup programs. These are programs that don't have a lot of track record. And in some cases, some of these programs did not finish the current season. They had multiple forfeits. I believe there were 5 or 6 of those teams from that group. So to me, how do you get to 512? Do you take those public league teams? Do you not take them? And then what do you do to get you to a situation where you've got the district numbers that are balanced in each classification? In theory, as written, you know, we can have an interesting discussion about whether or not this is better or worse. But right now, there's just so many of those loose questions, and I think that's the biggest one. How do we get to 512? Does it involve getting those public league teams involved? And which public league teams? Because they have varying enrollments. I mean, if we pick some from column A, they might go into the 4A field and push some teams down to 3A that we originally had in 4. If they're 2A teams, do they push those same teams up another classification? So there's a lot of ramifications based on how we decide how we're going to get to 512. When we did this before, when we went through this whole process, the IHSA included every program, non-playoff eligible, in the mock that they put out. And I think the important difference between this proposal and the way that we went through it last time are two things. One, it will be immediately implemented. It will be implemented for the 2024 season. And two, we have seen no example from the IHSA or the proposal submitters of what this looks like. Both of those things were not the case the last time. When we voted it in, it was set to go into play in the 2020 season, which gave it 1 year for people to kind of overlook a mock district proposal that the IHSA put out. That caused people to look at it and said, I don't think I like this, caused some other people to put it back on the ballot the following year, and it was soundly rejected in the redux, much more so than the actual original vote. So that cycle won't be allowed for this time. There's been no mock produced by the people that submitted the proposal. And essentially, you have to vote blind on this. You have to basically say, hey, I think this is better than the current system. I don't have any proof of this, but I think, as written, this will work out better for us. And I think that's giving a lot of people all over the state some trepidation about voting for this. I'm voting on what now? You can't tell me? That's giving people some pause.
Well, and that's the thing that I look at, too, because if it does win approval, then you see what the districts look like, and then the reaction occurs after the thing's implemented. And I think you said in the press box last Saturday, be careful what you wish for, because if you get it and it's approved, and again, the way the voting works, it's just a simple majority of those who vote. That's all it takes. And that's interesting. But I think, too, not seeing the districts, you know, not seeing the mock districts is a big caveat in this whole conversation and this whole debate, I guess. And we'll see how that plays out, I guess, December 4th through the 14th.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation because, I mean, as you know and some other people know, you know, I have sticky fingers when it comes to these kinds of things. And while they have not produced a mock, I have. So, and I've been forward about it because, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm for or against this proposal. I think that there are fixes that can and probably should be made to the current system. All I want out of this system is I want everybody to be informed on what they're voting on. So I've produced my own mock thing, supplying what I think might happen to provide the districts. And I have gotten inquiries from all over the state, large school and small school, from people wanting to know what it looks like. So that tells me that there's a lot of question in people's heads about what exactly am I voting for here. So, and that's really all that I'm trying to do. I mean, I'm not trying to interfere with this. I'm not trying to strike it down. I just want all of us to have the best possible playoff experience that we can have. I know there are people that have problems in the current system, but I think in the back of my mind, when I look at all of this, I think, yeah, it may fix some of the problems for them, for those schools, but I think it also will deflect new problems on schools that don't have any right now. So are we fixing the problem or are we just shifting the problem? I think that's a question that has to be answered.
And I think the other interesting thing as you're talking, what I think about, not only with this bylaw amendment proposal, but the science that goes into casting the ballot, if you know what I mean. The principal basically is the official member who casts the ballot. But how are they casting the ballot? Or are they gaining input from the staff? Or is the vote counter to what the staff wants? You know, I always wonder that sometimes because you hear at some schools, well, the coach wants this, but the administrator voted the opposite way. And I wonder how much that's going to be in play because a coach can say they're for it. There's no question about it, but he ain't voting. It's the administrator.
Yeah.
Now, you would think the administrator would be casting the ballot based on what the head football coach wants, but I'm telling you, that doesn't always happen.
Well, if you were to go on just what I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of people over the past week and a half about this very issue. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, our conference plans to vote against it. And if you just took a straw poll off of the people that I've talked to, this proposal is not going to pass. But in my mind's eye, I know better because of some of the things that you're just talking about. You know, sometimes these coaches are telling me, you know, we don't like it, we don't like it, we don't like it. But when it comes to punching the ballot, if you will, they're not the ones punching the ballot in most cases. So it may not be reflective of actually what really the vibe is. I honestly expect this vote to be very, very close. You know, and as I kind of filter out information and talk to people, you know, I understand, you know, why there are people that support this. You know, I personally think if we got the right people in a room, I think we could take the current system, make some tweaks to it, and I think come out with a better outcome for everybody. And that's what I'm like most interested in personally, is finding a way, because we're never going to satisfy everybody. It's not going to happen. There's always going to be some people that want it done a different way or want it done that way. I would just like a greater majority of people to be happier with what we're doing, because right now, you know, amongst football coaches, I think it's the acceptance toward the current system is probably somewhere in the 70-30 range. Administrators, it might be a little shorter than that. But there's a loud, even in the sense when I say that, there's a very loud minority of some that are really pushing for this. Because it fixes their individual problems. And I get that. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't know if it's for the greater good of everybody.
Yeah, and I think for me, You know, I'm torn between it too, but the one major concern I have is if you do it, you're never going back. And everybody says, local control, local control, local control. Well, this ain't local control. And people, you know, always want to debate the IHSA about everything. And then you're going to say, well, we're going to schedule the whole football season every year. What do you think about that? I mean, you don't think there, and regardless of what the system is, like you said, there's whatever it is, there's always going to be issues. And even if you look at district scheduling, there are just some pockets of the state, if you're basing it on geography and enrollment, there's going to be some wonky districts that you're going to say, how in the world did they come up with this?
Yeah, and I've done them, so I know, like, how difficult it is to get this set in a way, because say what you will about the conference scheduling system, it allows for flexibility. Because if you've got, say, 12 similar schools in an area enrollment-wise, you can kind of fit them together. You can make some divisions. You can break it up. Maybe you've only got 10. Maybe you've got 8. Maybe you got, you know, maybe you got 6 over here and, you know, 5. And, you know, you can break it up in a way that at least gives everybody a piece of that pie. But in this system, the rigidity of it, I think, is going to lead to some real problems. For example, and I'm not sure which classification is, I'm doing this off the top of my head. There's one classification in the state where there's a really nice little pocket of teams that look like it would make a nice little district. But when you count it up, you have 9 teams. And that doesn't work in the system. So you have to take one team that seems like a real natural fit with all of these opponents that are a half an hour away from one another at maximum, and they have to get dragged over to a district where all of their travel is an hour and a half to 2 hours. So that's where I think a lot of people are looking at this that are maybe in support of it, that are thinking in their mind's eye, oh, we'll just grab the 7 teams that are right around us in the same enrollment, and we'll have a good time. It'll work. It'll work for everybody. Well, like you just said, there are areas in the state that have certain problems, like they have 3 or 4 schools that are of that enrollment size. They have to go somewhere. So, and I look to the Metro East, the Metro St. Louis area, and that's one of the more challenging things about doing it in the district situation. A conference like the Southwestern has a 6A, you know, a couple of 6A teams, a couple of 7A teams, 3 8A teams. They work together in a conference because it kind of makes sense for them down there. Well, now all those groups have to go a different way, and all those teams have to find partners of their enrollment size, and the only place that you're going to find them are in Chicagoland. So, all, you know, 5 of those teams from Chicagoland have to marry a district with the teams in St. Louis. So, and that's not helping any of those programs for various reasons. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, well, what happens at the lower levels with these things? I mean, you want Lockport to travel to Belleville to play a freshman football game on a Monday night? I mean, logistically, that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, you know, the losing the flexibility. Now, of course, you get the under the proposal, the weeks 1 and 2 non-district games that the ADs and football coaches can schedule. Now, the other interesting part of it, do you think it's that big of an issue, or do you think it complicates the process that much where it says in the first round you never can meet another district opponent? I'm talking about the first round of the playoffs.
Well, I think there are 2 things that come into play here with what we're talking about here. The weeks 1 and 2, I think this is one of the things that I can clearly say is an improvement over the previous submission. The previous submission had week 1 and 2 playing non-district games that did not really count towards the qualification for the playoffs. And it led a lot of people to say, we'll basically be playing glorified scrimmages in that situation. And I didn't like that at all. Well, now those non-district games, while they don't count towards qualification, they do count towards win totals and playoff points. So it does give you an incentive to go out and try to find a quality opponent and hopefully, in your case, defeat them so that if you do qualify for the playoffs, you can get yourself a little bit better of a seeding. So that is an improvement over the previous proposal. As far as, you know, having teams from districts not paired up against one another, that could get a little tricky because we still haven't released ourselves from 1 to 16 seeding. So when I say that, you know, I think there's been a common push from a lot of coaches and a lot of people involved in football that we should seed all the classes 1 to 32 rather than just class 7A and class 8A and abandon the 1 to 16 north and south bracketing that we're using for the other six classes. When you do that, I mean, it really comes down to you'll have to do a little bit of finagling in north and south brackets to ensure that the district matchups aren't repeated because you've only got a pool of 16 teams there. You've knocked out three of those potential opponents. You, by law of averages, if you're a 9-0 team, that knocks out another three opponents. So it kind of cuts the list down to a very small amount of teams that you can actually play in the first round. So it might require a little bit of finagling, but I don't think that's that big of a deal.
All right. Well, I know we've taken plenty of time with Steve Soucy, and we could talk to him a lot about this, and we love the work he does and always tell people to support local journalism. Love the work throughout the football season and even post-football season because this is going to be a big story weaving its way December 4th through the 18th with voting and then the IHSA announcing the results on December 19th. Steve Soucy at Friday Night Drive. Always love running into you at press boxes and love following your work. Keep it up, man.
I appreciate it, Jim. And just to let people know, if this is something that you're interested in learning a little bit more about, we're planning on dropping my entire class 8, you know, 1 through 8 projections on FridayNightDrive.com on Monday. So if that's something you're interested in, come by and check out the website. And maybe if you see what you like, you'll sign up and hang around for a while.
Awesome, man. All right, again, Steve Soucy with us on WRMJ, WRMJ.com.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo, and we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. We've just wrapped up the high school football season, and Jim, maybe a big development. District scheduling has taken the next step. Give us the details.
Yeah, going to be on the ballot starting Monday. Member schools can vote on the district scheduling proposal. I went to the first session of the state championship weekend, the Friday session, and I think maybe that was getting just as much talk as the games were, I think, that day. As each day rolls by, there seems to be more conversation about this district scheduling a proposal. And the one thing that I always find interesting, Brian, is how does each member school determine how they vote? Is it just the AD casting the ballot? Is the principal? Is the football coach? Is there a school board, say in the matter? I'm just curious. I'd really like to know, and I'm assuming it varies from school to school how they cast ballots on these bylaw amendments, because I know there are instances probably where the coach believes one way, but maybe the administrator votes the other way. So sometimes it's tough to get a read on how this thing's going to play out.
Well, and what you've told me, Jim, in the past is it's not so much about the schools in favor of it or even the schools opposed. It's those who maybe don't cast a ballot that will impact the outcome.
And that's the interesting thing, because these proposals, and this isn't the only bylaw amendment proposal that's on the ballot. I think there's like 14 or something like that. And it's a simple majority process in terms of being passed or being defeated. And by simple majority, that's simple majority of the voting schools. So that throws, I think, another kind of wrench into things when you say, well, is everybody going to vote? And no, not all member schools vote. So I think that's interesting, too. And you look at this issue, Brian, the thing that is the most amazing in it all is that it takes effect in the fall of 2024 if it passes. And I think that's the one thing that most people were surprised about when they kind of read a little closer and they were saying, well, wait, what? Yeah, the district scheduling would go into effect in the fall of 2024 if it passes. And I asked Sam Knox a couple of weeks ago, I said, hey, can the IHSA put this thing together if it passes? And he said yes. So that's another kind of surprise to me, that they could put a schedule together by the fall of 2024 if this thing passes. I think the votes are tabulated and announced on December the 19th. You feel good about most people saying, ah, man, I like the IHSA scheduling all of these football games?
You know, I think that some people that I've heard talk are in favor of it because it's the lesser of two evils with all the changes in the conferences, and we've got a schedule put together and then it gets wiped out. So I think maybe it's something that we will see more and more support for. Will it pass this time? Maybe not. But if it doesn't, I think it's an eventual thing.
Well, and I think it's interesting because, you know, this isn't the first time we've had a conversation about this. It was a couple of years ago where district scheduling passed, but it wasn't implemented until the following year. And the very next year, as part of the bylaw proposal, there was another proposal that said, no, we're not going to do district scheduling. And it killed it. But this one says it goes into effect the fall of 2024. So, again, we'll be following this here over the next couple of weeks. In December 19th, we'll know for sure whether this district scheduling proposal passes or is defeated. And again, basically, district scheduling means the IHSA would schedule football games in Illinois. It would do away with conferences. All right, you brought up an interesting point earlier this week, Brian. The state of Michigan and their state championship series in high school football, they played on a Sunday, so basically kind of taking on the NFL schedule. What in the world happened there?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I thought when I saw it in the TV listings as Sunday, I thought, oh, they're just, you know, they're playing them Saturday. They're moving them to Sunday, you know, on TV. Well, then I realized the Lions played at home on Thanksgiving Day, and then the championships usually would be on the Friday following Thanksgiving. However, Michigan State and Penn State played in prime time at Ford Field. So that moved some of the games to Saturday and the rest to Sunday. And I was really surprised that that was allowed to happen, just from the standpoint that it seems like that would be so disruptive. And so many schools that I saw, you know, because I watched the majority of games on Sunday, or at least parts of them, so many of the schools left that morning to head to Detroit for the games. Now, the schools that played at 8:30, 9:30 Eastern time, they, of course, stayed the night before. But many of them left Sunday morning to go play the state championship game.
Oh, interesting. So basically, though, kind of just a one-time thing because of the scheduling quirk with the college football game on that Saturday then?
Yeah, I would think so, and I think that's probably how they sold it. Hey, we know this isn't ideal, but let's do it this year, and next year hopefully Michigan State doesn't host the game at Ford Field on Friday. So,
all right, he's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
All right, wrapping up Sportsline this morning on WRMJ. WRMJ.com is streaming on the WRMJ app. Quickly before we wrap up, want to mention our upcoming sports broadcast schedule next week, Tuesday through Friday night. Four straight nights of basketball on WRMJ. Tuesday, it's boys basketball with Rock Ridge at Orion. On Wednesday night, it's girls basketball, Mercer County at home against Abingdon. Avon Thursday, more boys basketball, Mercer County on the road at Farmington. I'm looking forward to Friday night's matchup between Rock Ridge and Sherrard. Rock Ridge hosting that game on Friday night. The first of two matchups in the regular season for both the Rockets and the Tigers. All right, that'll wrap up Sportsline this morning on WRMJ. I'm Ty Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes. Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots. Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.